shall we?
We'll, this will be a work session. This is Senate Bill 5541, Department of Revenue. We're fortunate to have Director Elizabeth Hartenko with us and George Dunford from the Department of Administrative Services. Let's see, and Sue Glashen is assisting us with the fiscal issues, representing the Legislative Fiscal Office, and Jamie Finn is our clerk for the day. So let's see, as I recall, Sue, we were down to, and I think we had approved through the current service level and the governor's recommended budget when we last met, and we were working on the reductions and any adjustments or amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, I've distributed for you, in case you didn't bring with you, the memo from April 27th that I distributed on that day when we had a work session. And then I've got an updated memo dated May 13th today that summarizes the work to date and then the issues that are remaining. And basically what we did when we met on the 27th is we were able to approve the LFO recommended budget. And those recommendations are listed in that box there on the May 13th memo. And so I won't go over those in detail unless you wanted me to. There has been a development since that time. I had recommended that the positions in the revenue-generating package in the governor's revised budget, and then also a package that the department had proposed be made limited duration. And the department is requesting that those positions be made permanent rather than limited duration. It states that it is difficult to recruit qualified staff for limited duration positions, and this is true for agencies. It can be difficult, especially if you're looking at positions where you require highly qualified staff. Most people do not want to take a job that they know will end in 2 years.
This is highly technical qualified audit staff, too, and that's, we're going to be up against industry standards there, too, as well.
And one of the reasons why I had recommended making those positions limited duration was the unknown as to whether or not the positions would really generate the revenues that the department is anticipating. And one way to ensure that that happens, while at the same time making the positions permanent so that the department can recruit the most highly qualified staff, is to simply have the subcommittee direct the department to report to the 71st Legislative Assembly on the revenues generated by the additional positions, and that assembly can determine whether or not there is justification to continue the positions as permanent. And then the other remaining issue was just getting to you budget language for the mapping issue, and I included down there at the bottom of the memo and then continued on the reverse side some language, and it would read as follows. The subcommittee requests the Department of Revenue work with other state agencies with mapping systems to identify and eliminate duplication of work. The subcommittee also encourages the department to explore with counties the potential for providing additional services and support in the mapping and geographic information systems areas that could result in increased cost savings and uniformity for local assessment and
Senator Close recognized.
Seems to me like that a lot of these things we approved last time, and then the additional recommendations for LFO are perfectly fine. I would recommend that we accept the LFO recommendations.
Senator Troll has recommended, has moved that we accept the recommendations of that are being made to legislative fiscal on the bill for the Department of Revenue. Are there any other comments that Representative Hansen is recognized?
Yeah. I might comment or perhaps an explanation from the chair in terms of the $5 million that we're going to be earmarked for the counties and where where we may be seeing that again, or what the situation is.
If I look at this, that's not in this at this point.
Right.
For 5 months. Yeah.
And that's my concern, is that it isn't. Possibly we have different concerns on this issue.
I was going to talk about that after we got this motion cleared up.
Okay, we did have a proposed amendment on the date of 4/20 to go ahead and add the $5 million out of general fund for making a grant for payments to counties for the appropriation under this section, deposits to the County Assessment Function Funding Assistance Program. And that language was in the form of just a proposed amendment, and we did not adopt that at that particular time, and we did not continue on with that particular language. It's my understanding that that is not dead, but it isn't incorporated as a part of this bill at this time.
That's not part of my motion.
Well, Mr. Chair, then where will it be included?
I'm not certain at what point it will be included, nor where, but I'm told that it is still going to be included somewhere, and it might be that this bill could be called back and amended into it at a later date, even after it's gone to full. At this particular point, this language, this amendment language, has not been incorporated in the existing recommendation or in the existing Senate Bill 5541.
Sure.
Senator Crowe.
I think we ought to approve this amendment and then talk about that issue later, of this motion, talk about that issue later. But my big objection to that suggestion for the $5 million in the appropriation was sort of just the way we heard about it. And the fact that we really hadn't talked about that as we dealt with the budget, and then suddenly there it was, and we didn't know much about it at all. And so I think if we do deal with it related to this budget, we ought to have a full and complete discussion of it. It's not such an unreasonable thing, especially since it's not coming from money that the governor has in his budget that would take away monies from other programs. And this is an expenditure that's fully justified, I think, within the budget to help out, or fully justified to help counties out with an expense that's basically mandated on counties from the state level. So I'm not objecting to it, except that it seemed to me like it was a complete surprise. We had no discussion of it up front, and we had no idea that some kind of deal had been made to do this. And that's the thing that I just wanted some explanation. And
I appreciate that. Thank you, Senator Troll. I think that the co-chairs had discussed going ahead where A&T is a function, trust and taxation is a function of the Department of Revenue, that this $5 million that they had set aside for the assessment and taxation, that this amendment was made up at a late time. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the date I'm not sure what date it is actually, but I showed it on my note, 4/20 at 5:40 p.m.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how that relates to the actual date. I received the facts of it at 4:38 p.m., so I must have come down and picked it up a few minutes later. And I'm not sure what day of the week that was, but in relationship to when we actually heard this bill the last time. So I guess I knew that there was an assessment taxation amount coming, and this is the department that it was in. I think we had talked about additional amounts for assessment taxation, but
I didn't, at that particular point,
I certainly wasn't bright enough to have picked up that we were going to have an appropriation to handle that in this budget anyway. If we had had a discussion of it, perhaps I should have, but I don't think
I... No, I don't.
I don't think the other member cities maybe did.
Well, I think that certainly that the assessment and taxation is an appropriate function for the Department of Revenue to be involved in, and the uniformity of, and that's certainly what the last budget note there indicates regarding the mapping issue, is that to the extent that it can help with the assessment taxation, we want to do that.
Mr. Chair, my purpose of bringing this up is that if we decide, you know, I think a decision's been made to move this $5 million to the counties, and I think that probably will happen. If it happens through this subcommittee, hopefully we'll spend some time talking about it before we make the decision. I'm not necessarily opposed to that. But,
I'll try and give you every bit as much notice about it as I've got to.
but we don't always have to go by just the framework they tell us. I mean, we can take a little longer if we want to, surely.
You bet. And I guess the concern that I've got is that if we come down to the point where they do not have another logical place to insert this amendment, that we might, and that's what I was trying to explain to Representative Krupp, is that we might actually have to come back, and even though this bill will have been heard by the full Ways and Means, as we're in the process of winding down some of the other budgets, and I find now that when I look at the list of all the budgets that are completed and where they've gone, I thought we were doing pretty well in this committee, and I find out that I've got more that have been heard and we've done nothing on, actually completed, than anyone else in the building. So I was here patting myself on the back. And Senator Ferry Oley saying no, he's still got a few to hear himself, I think.
Mr. Chairman, you're not off the track at all.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, could you have to go back over on your recommendation page the justification, the reasons why we're transferring $17 million from senior citizen property tax deferral to the general fund? I need to be clear on my mind why we're doing that. I'm always very suspicious of transferring money to the general fund from programs like that.
It started with general funds originally.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, that is from the Senior Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program. And the reserves have built up in excess of what the department believes that it needs to have a prudent spending balance, primarily because the inflow has been greater than the outflow. And this is not the first time that funds have been transferred from this reserve to the general fund. I think it happened a couple of biennia ago, and so
Does this $17 million represent all the funds, say?
Senator Trump, no, it does not. It leaves about $10 million in the reserve program.
And that's adequate for the reserve. Is that adequate in case that other bill passes that would have expanded the program?
Senator Trump, if that other program. And I believe you're talking about the one that would expand the program to disabled individuals. If that bill passes, then those, what's remaining in the reserve probably would not be adequate for the program.
Then we ought to know what the prospect costs of that bill passing, and can anybody assess those?
Is that the bill we passed yesterday on the floor, the rebate? Setting up that program again. No,
it's been passed relatively recently on the floor. There was one that passed yesterday that did have some.
But that was a rebate program. This is a property tax deferral program, and they're in and of the same.
I think the concern with the rebate programs that we're presently talking about, some of the additional are that they could require rather substantial infusions of general fund money, and that's how this one got started, was an infusion of general fund money, and those could be rather devastating, and
leadership has taken us aside and told us that we need to be cognizant now, as we begin to wind down the committee, that we watch for bills that have general fund requirements thrown into them. And so just pay attention to what you're voting on. Other funds are fine, but general funds are basically a no-no unless the sponsor is somewhere like Snodgrass or Metrolee or Butler or something like that. Anyway.
Any Democrats in that table?
They didn't give us any parameters in that regard at all. They just said be cautious of your review of bills that will be coming out of committees and onto the House that have already passed out of committee, which will have general fund bills announced to them. Did you want to make a comment as to what that?
Excuse me, it's Mr. Chair. Thank you. Members of the subcommittee, 2901 is the bill that would expand that eligibility for the program. It has passed the House and went to the President's desk, and on the 30th of April, it was referred to Ways and Means. And to my knowledge, it has not been assigned to any subcommittee.
Yes, exactly.
What the bill does exactly, how does it expand more?
Senator, then what it does, instead of making eligibility contingent on age, it also expands it to disabled individuals.
Okay.
Regardless of age.
So extending to the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
What's the equivalent of age? Is it 62, is it?
Five.
Five, isn't it? Or is it?
Okay.
And there was another concern that we had with regard to that bill that I asked questions about later, and that was that it does not have income requirement. It does not have asset requirements. It has an income requirement, but does not have an asset requirement. And so you could have rather substantial assets and be disabled as a result of perhaps an automobile injury with a very substantial insurance settlement. So you could be a multimillionaire, and it could be invested all into municipal bonds, and you would be able to have your mansion without any property taxes on it. And that's a concern about that kind of a property.
The other kind of concept behind the bill was that we felt, many of us in the House felt, that the Senate could explain to the disabled community that the price tag was too high.
So there's a deal, there's no limit of the income at all.
No, there's a limit of income, but there's not a limit of assets.
Oh, limited assets.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no limit of assets, and I was concerned about that because I have responsibility. I have a charge, a conservatorship, for a young boy who's 21 years old this year, 21 or 22 years old this year, that is incapacitated. And I give court accountings each year, and he owns his own home. He's totally incapacitated. His mother lives in the home, takes care of him. I think there are half-brothers and brothers that are parts of the same family, but it's a lovely home. He is, and we keep his income such, but I keep his income invested, where most of it, I just try and keep him under the 28% bracket all the time, so the income levels are such that he might qualify, and I look at that and I say, well, that's some foolishness.
Do you have any clear definition of who is disabled? That's
a great question.
As I know, it's a lady, about 10% of the people claim to be disabled in our state.
Well,
that, be a lot.
That probably is outside of the purview of the discussion, and the question has been called before us now, too. So the recommendation by Senator Crow is that we proceed with the recommendations of Legislative Fiscal Office relative to Senate Bill 5541, and that we pass it with a due pass recommendation to the full Ways and Means. Are there any objections to Senator Crow's motion? There being none, it's so ordered. And Senator Crow, would you like to carry that to the full Ways and Means?
Sure.
And let's see, would you like to carry it to the Senate as well?
Sure.
And to the House. And throwing your hand wildly in the air. All
of the Leonard, I think, would bond you.
Yeah. I think he would be pleased.
Yeah, I think so.
And he probably worked with no one.
I'll go ahead and carry that to the house. It would be my great pleasure to carry it to the house on behalf of the Department of Revenue.
Do you believe in retribution?
Mr. Chair, I think it's a good budget.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Senator Troy. I appreciate your comments. And I think that now that we're finished with that, why don't we just go ahead and I have no further business scheduled for today. Tomorrow we're in Four Ways and Means. And transportation needs immediately thereafter.
So we have no meeting tomorrow?
Other than that, we have no meeting. You can wear those clothes tomorrow and get them dirty. So close our meeting. Thank you very much.